This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coincidental murder, nothing to show. The judge, your constipation, go to his head. His wife's aggravation, you're soon enough dead. That's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend.
I think a quick correction is in order for Newton Nick.
Oh.
With regard to the statement that he just made about the mayor of New Orleans. I believe the mayor of New Orleans did not say that she checked with the federal government and they said go ahead with Mardi Gras. I believe her statement was that if the president had given a red flag at that point, then she would have canceled.
Well, she's passing the buck.
She is. Yes. Yes, she
is. Not cool.
No.
But I heard her interview. She said the federal government sent people to Mardi Gras. Like, she checked with them, are you still going to send your, you know, security team? I think it's FBI that goes there as well, and they said yes, we're sending everybody. So
yeah.
So they supported her. Well, I mean, they actually,
Ken, it was February the 3rd or 4th or whatever it was.
Okay, the first case in America was in Washington State on January 20th. That
right.
was the first man from Wuhan, China, who had tested positive in Washington, in the United States. So are you saying the federal government was not aware of the problem by then, or what?
You mean the one case? No, I think they probably. The federal government was aware.
The
president,
okay.
The president was aware of it earlier. Back when you were whining because he wasn't allowing travelers from China to enter the United States of America,
which I gave him credit for at the time.
Oh, yo, you did. I thought you were whining about that.
New Orleans mayors love passing the buck when there's a major emergency.
Yes, yeah. And Newton Nick checking in. Mardi Gras this year. The Fat Tuesday was February 25th.
February 25th. All right. So is that the mayor's fault or is that the federal government's fault Mardi Gras happened?
She gets to wear the gold medal. She will see her nation's flag flown highest and hear her anthem.
And every day is Fat Tuesday.
Here is John. Hello, John.
Good morning, good folks.
What's happening?
You know, it's been nice to see in the community people contributing things that, you know, the Volk schools that have masks and gloves and so forth.
Yes.
I can't do anything like that. But since I've been riding solo in my sex chair for quite a while, I have some dusty condoms on my bureau somewhere that I'm willing to donate to the Greg Hill Foundation for better use of mankind.
Listen, we did learn during the news that there is about to be a massive condom shortage in the world.
Well, that's what I'm talking
world.
About, brother.
So that
I want to
nice
fill that gap.
For those asking, I believe that you can still safely use a Joe Exotic condom. If you have one of those, the expiration date is far away. So.
I thought you were going a different way with that, Joe.
Me too.
This is AJ. Hello, AJ.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to chime in real quick. These New York drivers that are coming to Rhode Island and Cape Cod, they're taking their license plates off their cars while they sit in the driveway. Or they're even putting old Rhode Island ones on, trying to think they're going to get away from the cops.
Wait a minute. So if people who are trying to sneak into Rhode Island from New York are...
Yeah, we'll get to their house,
then
and then they'll take their license plate off, so thinking that the cops won't find out they're from New York, basically.
Wow.
They'll put old Rhode Island plates on when they're sitting there.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. This is Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's up, Kevin?
Not too much. I thought a couple of weeks ago you said that if there was going to be over 10,000 deaths, that then this stuff would be more serious.
That what?
That it would be more serious if there is over 10,000 deaths because of the suicide you're all worried about.
No.
And now you're saying there's like 100,000 probably are going to die now.
What's that?
Now the president's saying 100,000 are going to die now probably, right?
Yes, yeah.
All right.
So what's...
conservatives are crazy. Like... Trump always passes the buck. And then, like, Birmingham, you're like, oh, yeah, she's passing the buck. Didn't Trump say that he stands, like, no, he takes no responsibility for anything of this?
I don't know. You're not making any sense. Kevin, you're not making any sense. But what is the question? What is your question for me? Are you asking if we have had several discussions on this show comparing the effect on the citizens of this country that coronavirus will have versus the effect that a massive economic shutdown will have?
Yeah, well, conservatives are just crazy, I think. I mean, they like an unborn fetus, they're all worried about. But if you're 70 and you're screwing with their money, you can die.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I don't consider myself to be a conservative, so I don't know
all
why.
Right, well, you talk like one. You do all the points that they have.
Like what? Yep. What? Which points? Which points do I do?
Oh, like it's Birmingham's fault. It's the federal government's
What are you talking about, Birmingham? What are you talking about?
You're talking about Louisiana. You're talking about Louisiana, how it's her fault because they threw Mardi Gras.
No, I don't think it's... But Kevin,
what was going on?
Kevin, you know what I don't do?
What?
I don't run around during an unprecedented crisis in this country and point fingers everywhere and try to blame people. I try to find a solution.
I just listened to you. You're blaming the guys.
I didn't bring her up. It doesn't matter to me who's responsible for people in New Orleans getting it. It's an unprecedented occurrence in our country. And there's people like you and Hillary Clinton and others.
You're not a conservative, though.
What?
Hillary Clinton comes right up, though.
What? What?
You're not a conservative, but Hillary Clinton comes right up out of your mouth.
Well, there's Republicans.
I thought you're not pointing fingers.
There's Republicans who first of all, you don't let me speak. There are Republicans who are making asses out of themselves as well. There's this moron Republican representative who insisted everybody go back to vote.
Massey.
Yes.
Heard how Trump gave $1 trillion worth of our PPE over to China when they started over there? Have you read up on that? Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, man. That's crazy.
Wait a second. You're a guy who cares about everybody except you don't want the president giving anything to other countries that are fighting this?
Before we need it now. Where's the now?
No, that sounds to me like a conservative attitude.
Let's twist it. No, it's crazy. Like, he knew how serious this was, and then Fox News and them spin it how it's not crazy, and now like 100 grand are gonna die or more if they lax the standard here.
So let me ask you a question: if he knew that as you're claiming that it wasn't gonna be serious, why did he immediately stop travel from China?
When's immediately?
In January.
In January.
Huh? Hello?
Hello?
Just take a day.
Hello? Hello?
Okay, well, how come these Republicans,
I can't.
Good call, Kevin.
Thank
you. Honest to God, that guy was talking about you, Greg, having conservative talking points. I have Moonbat Bingo with fetuses and 70-year-olds. Trump lied. People died. I mean, incredible.
Wait till Greg gets to the new Green Deal as the reason the stimulus got held up. That's the next talking point.
I think what he was referencing was back on February 7th, nearly 18 tons of medical supplies were donated to China, including masks and respirators.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Kevin, if Trump didn't do that, would call him a bigot, right, who doesn't care about other countries.
Xenophobe.
Yep.
A xenophobe. Listen, again, desire by many to point fingers and to blame somebody for where we are on either side is an absolute waste of time, mm-hmm, when there are, right, companies, people, charitable foundations that are spending their time doing everything they possibly can to figure out solutions. And that's both sides. Both sides. It's ridiculous. And these people who want to pin it on one person, one group, it's kind of sad. There's no single person who ever thought we'd be in the situation that we're in right this moment.
No.
Is there?
No. Greg, I just watched footage again. I brought it up earlier in the show. You know, I lived in New York City for the longest time. I want to throw up as I see them turn the Javits Center, which is one of the biggest convention centers in the world, into a 2,900 hospital bed, temporary hospital, and now Central Park. Central Park, with a field named after a Beatles song, an iconic leisurely institution of the biggest city in America, is a working field hospital.
I mean, if you
just choke that down, everybody.
This is the amazing thing to me. We have people who live in this country, who were born in this country, who would prefer to blame somebody in this country as opposed to blaming the government of China.
But it started at the beginning of this, Craig. It's been politicized since the start. People on the left thought this was their sort of great moment for Trump to lose the one thing he had, which was a great economy, and to get him out of office. It was used by the operatives on the left to mobilize and get Trump out of office. That's what it was used as.
Greg, this is going to go down in history as one of the great mismanagements of a government for a critical situation. The testing was a failure. Dr. Fauci said that. Somebody screwed up. I don't know if it was Trump. I don't know if it was the CDC. You would acknowledge the testing was a disaster, right? From January 20th through February 29th.
I would acknowledge that they didn't have the test that they needed. Yeah.
Correct. So somebody screwed up. So you don't want this to happen again.
If you were running the show, when would you have started to create? I mean, thankfully, thanks to American ingenuity, we now have, you know, exciting news. There's essentially a 5-minute test that they've rushed through FDA wise that you'll be able to do yourself. So when it comes to PPEs and other things, we're not going to have to run through those the same way that we've been running through them. But I mean, it's easy for you to say that a global pandemic. By the way, if China, there are people in Wuhan who are risking their lives by telling the national media that they guess the death toll there is more like 42,000 as opposed to 2,500.
Yeah, please. And it's got to be tenfold.
If they had been honest with the rest of the world, then maybe theoretically things could have gone differently. But it's unprecedented. But you don't think mistakes were made.
Did the United States do a good job with their testing?
I think that probably everybody there would acknowledge that there were mistakes made.
So you
expect there's never going to be mistakes made during a global pandemic?
I mean, I think we can acknowledge that we need to be better.
Do you want the federal government to succeed, or are you rooting
of
for
failure?
Of
course I want them to succeed. And I want them to take over the PPE distribution, which they're not doing. So there's another crisis that we've got going on, which is not solved yet.
We're going to run late now on the top five most beautiful briefing
moments. Well,
you started
blaming
aware.
All your Republican talking points. You got us off track.
And a reminder that this is Brady week, and we're going to talk to Boomer Esiason in about 10 or 15 minutes at 8:30 and get Boomer's fondest farewell memories of Tom Brady. So Boomer will join us coming up. This is Nate. Hello, Nate.
Hey, I have one point to make about that caller a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
When was the last time something like this happened in the world, never mind our country? Like, what is our response supposed to be?
It was 1918 the last time it happened.
Well, that's my point. I mean, it's been over 100 years. How are we going to know exactly what to do when something like this is going on? Everybody's doing the best they can, correct? Like, I don't understand why that guy's peonies are in such a bunch. I mean, we're doing the best we can with what we have currently.
Because everybody wants to make it political. Everybody wants to score a win for their party, their side of things. It's ridiculous. Hello, Jay.
Hey.
What's up, Jay?
Oh, I'm enjoying Ken gaslighting the whole situation. Yeah. You know, saying Trump is happy with 100,000 deaths. They're saying that number is down from the 2.5 million projected. That's a good number, man. If you go from 2.5 million to 100,000, you saved a lot of lives. You can't be like, oh, it's a total collapse of the system. That's good figures. 600,000 people die every year from heart disease in this country. So to say 100,000 people from a pandemic in our country is, you know, too many deaths. Those are good numbers.
You got anything to say, Ken Jong-un?
The 2.2 million or whatever the projection was with no with no intervention at all. Let's just say we did nothing. So to throw that out there is just, I mean, what? It's misleading because that's the projection for doing nothing. Obviously, I'm glad we did something.
It was thrown out there, though, Ken, by New York Times, by CNN, by all these other entities to scare the American people.
Right. Which was effective because we did something, which is great. So to say 100,000 is a good number, I mean, you know how many people we lost in World War One? About 100,000 people. That's what we're looking at right now. Nobody's happy about that. That's a sickening number.
Here's a texter who says, at least you listen to the doctors and the scientists, something the president does not do. The president absolutely does that.
He listens to Tony.
He did it over the weekend. He wanted to quarantine New York. They had a spirited discussion about it, and then he didn't do it.
That man should be in an isolation chamber like he's on an old-fashioned game show. I want Dr. Fauci. I want Fauci bubble-wrapped. I want him Secret Service. Hey, Meghan and Prince Harry and every little bit of the detail you think you guys were going to get here. Sorry, we're rerouting it to Fauci, the most important man in America right
designated
now.
Designated survivor?
Yes.
You want Fauci to be designated survivor.
Back to Fauci quickly, though. But he missed one press conference, and all the media, all the liberal establishment, led by Dale Arnold, was saying, Trump benched Fauci. There's this issue. Oh, my God. Our world's going to end because Trump benched Fauci.
He missed two.
Well, Curtis.
He was in Navarro's holding cell.
Curtis, what would be nice is, A, we all know that Fauci knows what happened to Epstein. And B, it would be nice if some people, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, perhaps you're seated to the right in this issue, didn't come after Fauci for saying, Fauci just wants to undermine Trump. No, the man who was at the center of helping us all not get AIDS 30 years ago is now trying to prevent us all from choking on our own mucus. So just please leave Fauci alone, for Christ's
sake. Ridiculous, too. Fauci's fantastic. People sit here and analyze his emails with Hillary Clinton. And I mean,
emails.
It happens on both sides. I'm just asking, why the need in this country when it comes to the outrage culture to always be putting blame on somebody? It's an unprecedented national, worldwide crisis. Ken, you think you'd do a better job? Hello, Nick.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, Nick?
Just a quick one. First off, I wanted to comment that your statement was absolutely correct, that in something like this, which is unprecedented, mistakes are going to be made. No one's perfect. And quite frankly, I think the administration is pretty much taking care of things the way they should be taking care of things the proper way. But that's not the reason I called. One, you just had a comment before. It was like when the last time this happened, and it was on the 20s, like 1820 and 1720 and all this kind of stuff. The swine flu happened 10 years ago, H1N1.
Yes.
That killed more people worldwide, triple-fold, than what coronavirus has done so far. And in the United States alone, we had almost 18,000 cases of coronavirus in the United States alone. I mean, I'm sorry, swine flu in the United States alone. We're not even near that. I know we're peaking in Easter, yada, yada. I don't think we're going to get anywhere near that. But at that time, did we hear anything about ventilators, masks, Cuomo bitching about states,
states?
Hold on.
But that was over almost 2 years.
Nick,
though.
I never want to engage in Nick on Nick crime. You have a great name, but this is a terrible point because the fact you're saying, we don't have nearly that many cases as we do of the swine flu. I don't want to politicize this in relating it to the swine flu and coronavirus now.
Yes,
do you have any idea how many
people?
Do you have any idea how many more people have this and are underreporting it, not getting tested, or writing it out because they fear going to a medical center, a doctor's office? Or a hospital that is setting up triage or outdoor temporary morgues?
That happened during H1N1 when we were less advanced in medical? 10 years ago, we were less advanced in testing for
correct.
All this stuff.
Yes, we were less advanced. And the fact that we're further advanced now is probably helping us prevent the further spread of this highly contagious virus. More people will... there's nothing I want to bet on this because this is the last thing in the world I want to win. I guarantee everybody within the sound of my voice that we will have far more people infected and far more people sadly will pass from this than the swine flu.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Michael?
Yep.
What are you calling about?
You hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
I'm calling. I just got kind of a quick question for Ken.
Yes.
Ken, give me a name of a leader that would have stopped this thing in its tracks, or would have stopped it in a month, or would have stopped it in 4 months. Give me a name. Is it Joe Biden? Is it Hillary Clinton? Is it Elizabeth Warren? Give me a name, Ken, that would have stopped this thing.
Well, you would agree. Trump was giving off the vibe that we had it under control. In fact, he said those words from January 20th.
Ken, I just asked for a name.
I don't know. We're evaluating this.
There you go.
I got a name for you. John Rambo.
Yes.
How about Joe Exotic?
How about upstairs, Joe?
Guy already has the paramedic jacket that he could wear.
I would take A-Rod. Imagine if Joe, Trump's checking in with him.
If Joe Exotic had only won that election for president. Guys,
how great is Joe Exotic? How great is the Oklahoma Tiger guy? Huh?
All right.
I'm getting every one of us Joe Exotic for president t-shirts, and I will probably wear that prouder than anything else in my closet, and that includes my Brady Buccaneers jersey.
All right. Well, speaking of Brady, it is Brady week. We're trying to distract those of you who are in our listening audience so that we don't rip each other apart limb by limb over nonsense. So it's Brady week all week. We will start that with Boomer Esiason coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Greg E. Hill Show, but time now for What's Trending.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Now brought to you by Star Market Grocery Delivery. Enjoy Star Market Grocery Delivery powered by Instacart. Fresh, fast, delivered right to your door. Order online at shop.starmarket.com or you can download the Star Market Rush Delivery app for your iOS. And Brady Week brought to you by Samuel Adams, celebrating Brady's 20 years in New England. Boomer coming up here shortly. Did you miss Boomer? I mean,
yes. I can't wait to talk to Boomer.
Yeah.
I hope he's doing okay.
I hope they're all doing okay. They're the epicenter down there.
I see him all over the sock commercials, the sized socks.
They're comfy.
Wiggy says that the creamsicle is the greatest invention of all time. I might argue that specifically sized socks for men and women might be the greatest invention of all time, and Boomer is all over plugging those. So Boomer coming up shortly.
I wonder if you watched Super Bowl 51 Rewind, as many of us did here, a national TV replay yesterday. Fitzy was all over that. Was late for the Trump Zoom meeting we had to see the end of it.
It's okay. It only went on for 7 hours. I caught up eventually.
Here was a little Brady that was unearthed from 2016. That era, that was the 2016 season, right, Fitzy? And that, you know, the Super Bowl was in 2017 calendar year.
Correct.
But here was Brady with Mike Lynch. Mark Dodaro down in Providence unearthed this.
Seen some guys traded, some guys leave over the years. Can you ever imagine yourself in another uniform other than the Patriots?
I hope not. I mean, this has been my home for 17 years, so I never want to go anywhere else. I hope they never want me to go anywhere else either, but, you know, that's the business, and, you know, I got to keep playing well and doing my job, and, if I do that, then hopefully RKK and Bill will find a place for me.
So did you think at that time he had an inkling that it might happen? Was that like a foreshadowing or was that just...
I think he hoped, and I'm sure that the other two hoped at that time that they'd be able to reach an agreement and that he would retire as a Patriot. But unfortunately, life gets in the way of those kind of things, Ken.
I miss the optimism in his voice there. Didn't it sound like the last couple of years of Belichick and everything hadn't grated on him yet? There was still a brightness in his voice, like he hadn't just been ground down by the negotiations and the sessions and everything. I miss that. That's why I'm okay with him going to Tampa, because if that's what's going to make him happy and he delivered you Super Bowl 51, if you love Brady, insert the Sting song lyrics here.
Do you think pre-Carol that Joe Exotic thought he would always have his exotic animal park? I'm sure he did. But life gets in the way. Life gets in the way.
Yep.
Not to harp too much on Super Bowl 51, but Fitzy, play of the game was what?
Play of the game? Hightower blowing past Freeman and forcing the strip sack that Branch recovered. That's the turning point.
The other stunner just from watching that, the array of weapons. I mean, there's no Gronk in that game. I guess Amendola was a better Amendola, but it's not a great supporting cast there. Brady made that happen with...
People sleep on 2016 Chris Hogan, who had a monster year. Amendola was great.
Mitchell was showing up for big catches.
6 for 70 in that game, most of which was in the second half and overtime. And, you know, had they not given the MVP to Tom Brady... James White just should have shared it just the same way Butler should have Super Bowl 49. That guy was an absolute monster in that game.
Good news from Marcus Smart. He announced on social media he has been cleared of coronavirus after testing positive 2 weeks ago. Knicks owner James Dolan does have it. So far without symptoms, he is paying the workers at MSG through May the 3rd. Boomer Esiason joins us on Brady Week coming up here on the Greg Hill Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
We're about to head to New York and talk to Boomer Esiason on day one of Brady Week. Listen every morning at 8:30, every afternoon at 12:30, and at 4:30, and at 6:30 with Mutt in the evening to celebrate the career of one Tom Brady. And this will be it. This will be our final farewell. This is goodbye. And, of course, it benefits those who are in the service industry who have been financially burdened by COVID-19. You can visit restaurantstrong.org to donate. We sit at $467,000 that you've given already. So go to restaurantstrong.org if you'd like to donate, if you haven't done so yet, or you want to do so again, or if you want to apply. If you're a restaurant worker who's not working right now and you want to apply, you can go to restaurantstrong.org. And time to say good morning again to our old pal, Boomer Esiason. Boomer?
Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing up there, okay?
Well, things were so different when we said goodbye in January. We weren't all in self-isolation, and Tom Brady was still a New England Patriot.
Things change rapidly, I guess, right?
That's an understatement.
Boomer, are you working from home? Or are you going to the studio? What's going on with you?
No, I'm working from home. Most like they basically shut the studios down about 2 weeks ago.
See, that's what they do for the real Entercom talent. The valuable talent gets to work from home. I'm still in here. I mean, I still have to show.
Wow. Well, we had five employees test positive.
Really?
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And actually, you know, the amazing thing is one of the guys that tested positive was in my office, and, you know, we were discussing, you know, different, you know, sales angles and everything else like that. That was a Thursday two weeks ago, and then Friday he really felt like crap and got tested and then got the results at night and immediately called me.
Oh.
And they put us in quarantine, so that's basically what happened.
But you're doing okay right now?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
All right, good. Well, in an attempt to comfort the masses here this week, we're doing Brady Week. So,
I got you. It's a good thing to be doing right now.
Nice distraction.
Yeah, it's a good distraction. And so I do want to get your favorite moments from him, but I want to ask you, when you heard the news, did you believe it, or were you still questioning whether or not it would happen?
You know, what I really was, I was disappointed when I heard the news because I wanted Tom to end a Patriot, and that's probably pretty selfish of me to think that way. But, you know, when you think of iconic players, iconic franchises, and the greatest of all time, you'd like to see him run it all the way out, you know, through the end, no matter how long it took, no matter how bad he might have played, whatever the situation may have been. I would have loved to have seen him finish his career that way. But everything that I've heard and listened to and things that have been said by, you know, all parties, it just sounded to me like he wanted to go in a different place and go somewhere and maybe not have the intense pressure that, you know, the relationship that he and Bill has during the season. I would just always tell him that the grass isn't greener elsewhere, and he'll find out pretty quickly how things are different from one franchise to another. And while I do love, you know, Bruce Arians, and I think he would be a fun guy to play for, you know, being a fun guy to play for and winning a Super Bowl are two different things.
Well, what did you make of Terry Bradshaw saying last week that this was all Tom's ego? As a quarterback, former quarterback, do you think that played a lot into this, the ego of Tom Brady?
I think it's aggressive. I think we all have egos. Terry's got a huge one. I'm sure I had a big one when I was playing. Hell, I got one now. You can't do what we do unless you have an ego. You know, maybe Tom wanted a 2-year, $50 million deal with the ability to get up to $60 million, and the Patriots only willing to give him $17 million this year. That would have put him at $30 million, given the cap hit that he's going to leave behind. You know, Bill Belichick is kind of ruthless when it comes to stuff like this. And I'm sure Bill said, look, we'll get the 1 year deal and we'll move forward with you with a 1 year deal. If you want to take it, take it. If not, then, you know, you can go shop yourself somewhere else. That's what it sounds like to me. And I kind of felt that way towards the end of the year, that the ultimate guy that's going to decide this is going to be Bill Belichick by how much money he's going to want to pay Tom Brady. And money has a lot to do with it, so therefore ego would have something to do with it. I don't blame Tom to try to get as much as he possibly can. I don't blame the Buccaneers for doing this, because it all of a sudden now vaults them into legitimacy. One of the worst franchises in the NFL now all of a sudden has its best player. So, you know, when you take all the ingredients and you mix them up in one bowl, and you realize that this is where he ended up, I could tell you that, you know, it's interesting. I thought maybe he would consider the Colts, but then I started to think, would the Colts really go for Tom Brady? Could you imagine seeing Tom Brady in Peyton Manning's original uniform? Oh, I couldn't see that happening, although I think the Colts would have been an awesome fit for him. But the fact that he selected the Bucs, and I don't know if they're going to go back to the creamsicle uniforms or playing those ugly orange, burnt orange and gray uniforms is really going to be interesting to see that number the first time.
So, Boomer, I hate to ask, just because you just mentioned Brady in a Colts uniform and I kind of wanted to throw up all over again, but what was New York sports radio like the day or two after Tom Brady announced that he was leaving the Patriots? Was it as celebratory as we thought it would be?
Yes, definitely. The fans are ecstatic, believe me. They couldn't wait to get rid of him. And the fact that he went to, like, the NFC South, about as far away as you can go from the AFC East, Jet fans were beside themselves. He's finally gone. He's finally, you know, let go of the grip of 20 years that he has had on the AFC East. I mean, Jet fans are just giddy. And now they think that they got a chance, but then you see what Miami's doing and how they're building down there, and you're saying to yourself, wow, Miami and Buffalo at this point kind of feels like they're a little ahead of the Jets right now. So the Jets still have quite a few steps in their ladder to get over the hump, if you will. But I know one thing, they were happy as hell down here. They were excited about it, and they're looking forward to what hopefully will be for them playoff season without Tom Brady in the division.
Boomer Esiason is our guest on Brady Week, and so I know it's hard, but I want to ask you, in honor of Brady Week, to tell us, if you can, what you think may have been his greatest game, his greatest effort.
You know, that's really hard. You know, his season, in the season where he threw for 50 touchdowns, and I think it was like 4,900 yards or something, I want to say that season was his best ever season, somewhere around 2000. I'm trying to think when it was. I don't have anything in front of me, so it's hard for me to remember exactly the year. But I will say this. You know, I was doing the radio broadcast of his first Super Bowl. It was 2007, maybe.
Yep.
It was probably his best season. But his first Super Bowl, when on the radio I was saying, if you ask Bill Belichick if they were in this situation, would he go for it? And John Madden was saying that, you know, on TV, that they should take a knee and go into overtime. You know, I basically said Bill Belichick would take this every single time, given the fact of the underdog status that they had, and they let the rookie second-year quarterback, lead them into a Super Bowl. And that's where it all began. That's where the greatness began back in 2001. I don't care what anybody says. And, you know, since that time, whether it be the Super Bowl against Atlanta, the Super Bowl against Seattle, the Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers, which was an amazing game. The fact that he's played 41 playoff games is staggering. It's staggering when you think about that. That is essentially 2.5 seasons of playoff games. Now, to me, that's just absolutely remarkable. And his record of 219-64 is even more remarkable. So the legacy that he has left, you know, speaks for itself. The numbers all speak for themselves. And I think Bruce Arians said it best when he said, look, when this guy walks in the building, everybody changes. Everybody has to be better. They go from a turnover machine in Jameis Winston to the greatest quarterback of all time. So they're going to be a good team. There's no question about it. Especially offensively, they're going to be good. He should be able to put up some big numbers, too.
What percentage of Patriots fans do you think will turn on the team as a result of this move, Boomer?
You know, Danielle, I don't think it's the team. I think Patriot fans realize that the team made him an offer. They want him to come back for, it sounds like, just for a year, and they were going to do this on a yearly basis. And Tom didn't want that. I heard Tom's father talking about how it's more of a separation than it is a total divorce. Well, you know, on the field, it will be a divorce, but I think in real life, it is a separation that they'll come back and they'll celebrate the greatest quarterback in history, you know, in due time. And Bill Belichick will be the guy who probably, you know, does his speech at the Hall of Fame, I would imagine. It's just one of those things where I think for 20 years, the fact that they made it 20 years, my Sam Weiss and I were ready to kill each other after 7 years. So I can totally understand maybe just being refreshed and moving away. This is, I don't believe this is the Patriots' fault. That's just basically what I'm saying. I just think it was just a sequence of events that took place here, and Tom wanted a shot at going somewhere else and going with a good team, and I think he found that. And whether or not it turns out into another Super Bowl, that's a whole other story. They're in a tough division, and, you know, listen, he's going to have his hands full.
Boomer, Greg has pointed out time and again that he thought that this really was a business decision on both sides, and that seems like kind of an unsexy answer, but what do you and I agree, I think a lot of people do. What do you think this does ultimately, though, for Brady personally and as a businessman as well, because he's trying to expand the TV12 empire, and now he's got a chance to play till he's 45 on what could be a fantasy football offense in an entirely different market, which you said he just took basically from the dumpster to contender.
Yeah, you know, business-wise, I think it keeps him relevant. He's doing what he wants to. He loves playing. He's getting paid very well. He has upside in his contract. There's a lot of reasons to like this. I think I would have rather had seen him go to the Chargers. That probably would have been better overall for his off-the-field marketing and business ventures out in L.A. But I could also understand why you wouldn't want to go to that crappy franchise too. So, I mean, basically it came down to three franchises, the Colts, I believe, the Buccaneers, and the Chargers, and two of those were just horrific franchises. The Colts would have been a great spot, but then again, thinking about everything that goes into Tom Brady wearing a Colt uniform, you know, never really added up for me. As much as I would have loved to have played, have him play for my college roommate, Frank Reich, their head coach, and I think they would have made a great pair. Just seeing him in a Colt uniform, I think, would have been really, really hard for a lot of reasons, whether it be Peyton Manning, whether it be Deflategate, whether it be Josh McDaniels, whether it be every little thing that's gone on between the two franchises, that would have been hard to really wrap my head around. But he's with Bruce Arians, and that's, I think, the key. And Mike Evans and Chris Godwin as receivers who are terrific. So he's got a couple tight ends down there that are definitely formidable to cover and play against. So I think he should have a good year. I don't know if he'll, you know, 50 touchdown season year, but he should have a good year down there.
All right, Moore, thanks for joining us on Brady Week. Stay safe. I hope you're not the same fate that has befallen me has not befallen you, where you've gained 7 or 8 pounds. I mean, you look pretty good in the sock commercial. So
the sock commercial, they're running all over the place. What I'm doing, Greg, and what I suggest you do is get on a Peloton, get that fat ass girth on a Peloton, get moving.
I would, but the gym is closed, and I'm too cheap to buy one. I mean, that's
buy one. You got enough money. You're a morning talk show host for Entercom. You could do it.
Oh, yeah. All right, Boomer. Thank you.
See you guys. Bye, and have a good day.
Brady Week continues at 12:30 with Dale and Keith. Next, we'll get to the top five most beautiful briefing moments from the White House briefings this weekend.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI. The Greg Hill Show presents the top five most beautiful briefing moments.
As we near the end of our historic battle with the invisible enemy.
Well, for those of you who may have missed the 91 minutes that the president spent with the nation last night, we thought that we would continue with our best briefing, most beautiful briefing moments feature. And certainly a long one yesterday. I enjoyed it. Danielle, I know
it was
that you...
so good. Every day. See, I don't like the press conferences as much as I like the media avails, because when they do the avails, they have the whole task force with them. You know, so they have Fauci, they have Mnuchin, they have everybody else. So the press conferences, I feel like, aren't as interesting, but it delivered yesterday. There was a ton of great content.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. We starting with number five when it comes to best moments? Or
that is correct.
Most beautiful moments, yes.
Now, of course, in the beginning when coronavirus, COVID-19 was just starting to take over the globe, they debated whether or not to do anything to stop the spread of the virus, and the president commented about that.
Number five.
I mean, we had a lot of people were saying maybe we shouldn't do anything, just ride it. They say ride it like a cowboy. Just ride it. Ride that sucker right through. That's where the 2.2 million people come in. Mm-hmm. Would have died, maybe. But it would have been 1.6 to 2.2, and that's not acceptable. But there were a lot of people that said, I thought about it. I said, maybe we should ride it through. You know, you always hear about the flu. I talk about it all the time. We had a bad flu season. But this is different. And part of this is the unknown. And part of it also is the viciousness of it. I had a friend who went to a hospital the other day. He's a little older, and he's heavy. But he's a tough person. And he went to the hospital, and a day later, he's in a coma. I go, how's he doing? Sir, he's in a coma. He's unconscious. He's not doing well.
Sir?
Sometimes you should stop. Somebody should stop him. Sometimes.
No.
Who is that person?
First of all, I think it is great that he is quoting Abraham Lincoln verbatim up on the podium.
Ride it. Ride it like a cowboy.
Ride it like a cowboy.
That sucker.
That guy got through the coma and he woke up to see the president calling him obese on national TV.
He's older and heavy.
What's next, Danielle?
We have a very strong military in this country, and we have a lot of assets that go along with that military, and you would be very impressed by what we have.
Number four.
So we now have 10,000 in, and we inherited a system which was broken. Just like, I'll never forget the day when a general came and said, sir, my first week in office, we have no ammunition. That was in the military. We've now rebuilt our military, stronger than it's ever been, and we have so much ammunition. You wouldn't believe it, how much ammunition we have. But
we got a lot of ammunition.
You would not believe it.
Had a lot of ammunition.
So much ammunition.
Sir, we have no ammunition. They won. Poor guys.
Yeah. Mr. Trump, but we have no bullets, sir. We have no ammunition.
I'll tell you right now, we have so much ammunition, and so does CNN, fake news, and so does Fox, foxnews.com. Go to Fox News right now. You know it's right there for sale. Trump hats, Fox and Friends, camo. Get an extra large right now.
All right, number three this week, or this today, I guess.
Yes, number three today centers around one of our new favorite people on the show, Jen Pellegrino, who represents OAN, One America News Network. And the president, as we know, loves to talk about himself.
Number three.
Jen Pellegrino with OAN. Yes. Thank you, sir. Mr. President, your approval ratings have been the highest they've ever been, as well as the ratings on your handling of the virus. Yet there are some networks that are saying they're debating whether or not to carry these briefings live. Do you think there's a link between the two?
Well, that's a nice question. Thank you very much.
That's a nice question.
Boy, that's a beautiful question.
Beautiful question.
One of the things the president would like is for people to be more positive. And Jen aside, he is typically very critical of the media and the questions they ask him.
Number two.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two questions. The first is, you've said repeatedly that you think that some of the equipment that governors are requesting, they don't actually need. You said New York might not need 30,000. You said it on Sean Hannity's Fox News. You said that you might.
Why don't you people act? Let me ask you.
You said some
states. Why don't you act in a little more positive? It's always trying to get you.
My question to you is.
Get you. And you know what? That's why nobody trusts the media anymore.
How is that going to impact?
Excuse me, you didn't hear me. That's why you used to work for the Times and now you work for somebody else. Look, let me tell you something. Be nice. Don't be threatening. Just so you know, we're all, you, me, everybody, we're all on the same team. You know, when journalists get up, and you're a journalist, a fine journalist, when journalists get up
Sean Hannity
and ask questions that are so threatening,
I was quoting you directly from your interview with Sean Hannity. Mr. President, my second question is, we're all on the same team, Ken.
You know that we're all on the same team. Do you know that, Ken?
What's wrong with that question? It was not even intimidating in the least.
No.
Getcha. Now,
but Ken, it's like one of those programs that deletes your tweets after 3 weeks. Like if he said it, if he doesn't remember it, then it didn't happen.
Gonzo. Since it is Monday, we did have the benefit of several instances of the president giving updates. And number one this week, or this morning, I should say, is from Friday's White House press conference. ABC News White House correspondent Jonathan Carl pressed President Trump on the availability of ventilators.
Number one. Everybody
needs one will be able to get a ventilator.
Look, don't be a cutie pie, okay? You know, everyone who needs one. Nobody's ever done what we've done. Nobody's done anything like we've been able to do. And everything I took over was a mess. It was a broken country in so many ways, other than this. We had a bad testing system. We had a bad stockpile system. We had nothing in the stockpile system. So I wouldn't tell me what you tell, what, you know, like being a wise guy. Go ahead.
Go ahead, cutie pie.
Go ahead.
That's a term of endearment, cutie pie.
Are we going to open a top five most beautiful briefing moments merchandise store? Because I can't decide if I want to buy a shirt that says we have so much ammunition or don't be a cutie pie.
Mm-hmm. I like don't be a cutie pie.
I don't. Yeah. That's got to
be my choice. That would be my choice. All right. Well, there you have it. Those are the top five most beautiful briefing moments from this weekend.
We'll get you
another one today. What time is the briefing today? Do we know what time, Danielle?
I mean, usually they're around 5 o'clock. I think yesterday it was closer to 5:45. So anywhere between 5 and 6, typically.
I think Trump likes to bleed into the 6:30 nightly news window.
Mm-hmm.
So
good call, Curtis.
Usually you're going to see it around 5:45, yes. And it will go into Lester Holt's.
Guys, the correct answer was, when is it? Not soon enough.
Yeah, don't be a cutie pie.
Not soon enough. All right. We will be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.